So hello everyone. I know this is the end of the day, the end of Fosdem, so thank you for being so many to attend the talk. I won't be too much into kernel details in that talk. That should be relatively easy to follow. Yes, I'm sure this is a kernel dev room. This is not about Go, so don't be worried about the logo. I also do apologize if some of you attended Jeff's presentation from yesterday on the same topic. The presentation from today will be pretty similar. But still, so what is Peru? This is, so the name comes from Packet Where Are You? And this is an eBPF-based tool to debug packets going through the Linux networking stack. So we see why we wanted to work on that tool in the first place, how Peru works, and what are some of the features, and how can we actually use it in real life to debug real problems. So the problem is that nowadays we have a lot of things to debug regarding to networking stuff in general. So when you use containers with namespaces, Kubernetes, all these kind of things, you typically have packets arriving on the interface and then being forwarded to a pod through a pair of VEth interfaces. And there's that big thing in the middle. That's a penguin. That also stands for the Linux networking stack. And from the point of view of someone trying to understand what's happening, it often looks like a black box that's difficult to analyze and to understand fully. So how do we get some visibility into that? Right? We've got a number of things happening in the Linux networking stack, a few things. So that gives an idea. It's very tricky to get to the right place. So where is my packet? So that's the problem we have. So usually when something goes wrong, we use tcpdump. Right, tcpdump is good. Tcpdump is a great tool that's very useful. Tcpdump works well here and there. And sometimes the stuff happens here, and that's great. Sometimes, though, it happens in the penguin. And sometimes in the pod as well. So what do I do with it? Can tcpdump help in that case? Not really, not so much. There are some other tools to debug things. There is printk. Well, comes with a number of drawbacks, too. I need to recompile my kernel. It's quite slow to process to adjust every time I need to add new print case. I may possibly have to add a lot of print cases if I have no idea where my packet's going. If I do things wrong, my kernel will panic. That's not great. And how do I filter on specific packets? It's difficult to do. It's far from ideal. We've got some other tracers too. Perf is, for example, a good tool to trace kernel functions. That's something awesome. I can just hook onto that function and look what's happening in there. But for networking, really, it's hard to do this filtering on the packets that I really want to follow. It's also hard to extract the network-related information out of other things that perf returns. And in the first place, how do I know what function I'm interested in? Where is the stuff happening? Where is my packet drop? Where is my packet masqueraded? Where the interesting events are occurring? So what if we could have something that gets a list of all the functions in the kernel that will be processing my packets, and that get what if I could get callbacks and run programs when these functions are called? And if I could also filter those callbacks to make sure that I only process the packets that I'm interested in. So that's where we introduce Peru, which is based on eBPF. So I assume most people in the room have some familiarity with eBPF, so I won't go too much into the details. Just as a few reminders, that's this execution environment inside of the kernel where you can inject programs from user space. They're going for the verifier to make sure that everything is safe and won't crash your kernel. You go for the JIT compiler to turn these programs into native instructions and get some good performance too. And then you run your programs on some hooks that are where you attach your program in the first place. With a diagram that looks like something like this. So we have a program here that we will hook to a probe on IP local deliver, which is a function that takes SKB as an argument. So that's a socket buffer that represents a packet in the networking stack. And with Clang and LVM, or with GCC nowadays, but most often with Clang, we turn that into an ELF file that contains the eBPF program as bytecode. And then we use a loading program that can be in Go, that can be in C, that can be in Rust, whatever, to extract the bytecode from that ELF file and inject it into the kernel through the BPF system code. Once in the kernel, we get the eBPF verifier kicking in to make sure that the program is safe. We compile the kernel. We don't have to, but most often we want something fast. So we compile the kernel. We compile the program into native instructions. And when my packet's coming in and IP local deliver is called, then it triggers the execution of the program. And I can communicate with my agent in user space through the use of eBPF maps to store data. So, for example, to store metadata about my packet and retrieve them in user space to know what's happening. That's great, but how do we keep track of all those packet processing functions? So I have IP local deliver. I have a lot of other functions that are doing packet processing too. That's where we leverage BTF, which is BPF type format, which is a metadata format with debug information. So a bit like Dwarf, but producing object files that are much smaller than Dwarf and that target BPF specifically for a number of use cases. So we can have BTF information for one BPF program in one object file. We can also have it for the Linux image itself, which is, so this BTF object is usually exposed in the CSFS file system. That looks a bit like this. We have a very simple program, a very simple function, SKB get mark that takes socket buffer as an argument. I turn this, I extract the BTF information from that object file that I compile into a BPF program, and this is the BTF information on the right side. So it works like this. It says, I've got a struct skbuf with the different offsets of the different attributes. I also defined another type, which is a pointer to that type ID2, which is my struct. I also define the prototype of a function that takes the SKB, so the pointer to the SKB as an argument, and I give it a name, which is SKB get mark. And because I have the BTF information about the kernel image, and because this BTF describes all the functions in the kernel, I can process that in user space to extract a list of all the functions that take an SKB as an argument. And that gives me the list of the packet processing functions in the kernel really. So I have a list of all the functions that I want to hook to. So that answers to the three criteria we had. How to get all the functions? Well, we can with BTF. How to get callbacks? We can with eBPF and kprobes in the kernel. And how to filter packets? Well, since we're using eBPF and it was a packet filtering mechanism in the first place, that's relatively easy to implement. So how does it look like in practice? So I've got two terminals. It's not a live demo, sorry. I use a rule, an IP tables rule, to drop packets, TCP packets on 1.1.1.1, which is Cloudflare's DNS, for example. And I call Peru. So here I have Peru destination host 1.1.1.1 and TCP and destination port 80. And after I call Peru, it tells me that it loads my program and that attaches all the K probes that I'm interested in. So that's 1,500 probes in that case. And then on the first terminal, I tap a curl 1.1.1.1. What happens below is that I get a list of all the functions that process my packet. So I see a list on the right, IP local out, NF hook slow, and so on and so forth. And eventually I get K3 SKB mem, which is a function that is called once MySQB is freed because it's been dropped by the IP tables rules. The IP tables rules I can also see through the call to NF hooks slow. So that gives me information about what's happening in terms of function. It gives me information about the process that's been creating this packet in the first place, because on the column in the middle, you can see that it's a curl process. I get also information about the SKB, which is not useful by itself. This is the address of the SKB, but it allows me to be sure that this is one SKB that's being processed in the list. If I have several packets in this output, they will have different addresses. So it allows me to filter by SKB when I post-process this information. And once I exit from my peruse session, then it detaches all the props it's been loading. Okay, so what fancy features do we have beyond the basic usage? We have quite a number of options for peruse. So this is peruse --help. I won't go through all of them, but through a number of interesting ones. So before we go into the options, you might have noticed that the way I told it to focus on the packet with the 1111 destination was just the same syntax as for TCP dump. And we do have support for PCAP filters in Peru. And the way this works is, so if I don't pass any filter, things are pretty much straightforward. I'm using my BPF program, compiled from Peru, loaded into the kernel. Now if I do have a filter, I turn this into some CBPF bytecode using the libpcap. CBPF is not exactly the same thing as eBPF, so I cannot use it just like this. So Peru uses another tool underneath, which is CBPFC. Hang on. And it turns this CBPF bytecode into eBPF bytecode. And then we get this eBPF bytecode and we inject it into the regular program. Okay, we've got everything in place. We load it into the kernel and that's it. That should be, it's easier after that. Don't worry. Okay. Some other features, we can trace the kernel itself, we can trace kernel modules as well. We've got a few options to trace either a specific kernel module or all modules. So if you process packets with functions that take SKBs in your module, you can also follow what's happening in them. We've got a choice of backends for Peru, so there are two currently, which is the regular K probes and the multi-K probes. So what do the multi-K probes do? They allow you to, well, you don't really realize it when using Peru, but they allow Peru to load a bunch of K probes all at the same time. So instead of loading your probes one after the other, you create an array of probes and you pass this array with the size of the array to the BPF system call, and then everything loads nearly at once. So it's faster. How much faster exactly? So if I call Peru on my laptop with the backend kprobe, the legacy one, which is available, which has been available for a long time, the new one is for 5.18 plus only. So I get a few seconds to attach other probes. That's 7 seconds here, but it takes 1:37 seconds to detach other probes. That's not great. Now if I do multi-K probes, that's nearly instantaneous for attaching everything. Like there's no difference on that test. And 1 second for detaching everything. So that's quite faster. That's a good improvement. here are a few other interesting functions. They're all in the same box. They are not exactly related to each other, but still. So we can filter also by namespace for Peru, like looking for packets in one given namespace and not the others. That's totally possible. I think that's relatively easy to do from the BPF perspective, because I believe the namespace is directly available from the SKB itself. We can filter TC programs themselves, which are not regular kernel functions, just like the one we have in the networking stack. But because your TC programs can affect the packet processing, that's also interesting to follow what's happening on them. And the way it works is by using some specific BPF programs hooking on what we call the F-entry, F-exit mechanisms, to plug directly onto those TC programs. So we're looking at BPF programs with other BPF programs. Yes, it works. We can also track SKBs that change. So when does it change? So for example, if I clone my SKB or copy my SKB, so the way we do that is when the option is enabled, we hook onto SKB clone, SKB copy at the end of the functions actually, and we say, okay, this packet was interesting when I enter the function. And when I exit the function, I mark it as a packet of interest in a BPF map. So in addition to filtering the packets that I usually want, that I provided the filter in the first place for, I also check for each packet if it's present in the map of the packets that I want to additionally follow. So that helps me following packets that may have changed. We've got some interesting options for changing the display or adding more information on the display. So I can add metadata on the socket buffers. I can add the full SKB. I can add the call stack. Here's an example. I can add the four tuple for the packets. So in this example, we have two functions that process my packets here. And below each function that is displayed, we have the full call stack for the functions. So that's quite helpful to understand exactly what's happening in the kernel and how it goes in terms of processing. So two real-life examples that we've had when working on Cilium, trying to debug things on Cilium, which is a CNI for Kubernetes with a number of things related to networking and sometimes complex cases. The first one is MTU configuration error, which we had to debug at some point. So we have a very simple setup with a packet arriving on the interface, and the MTU on the node interface is not the same as the one on the VETH interface. And it was relatively easy to find out in the output from Peru that the MTU is not the same is lower than the length of the packets. So the only thing I had to do to get this is to add the output tuple information to get the information about the packet that comes in. Another slightly more complex example is, that was in kind, so I have a Docker network in the middle. I had this configuration with a pod trying to curl to the outside and hitting an IP table rule leading to masquerading the packets. So my packet gets masquerading with the address of the node interface. That goes to the internet. Okay, that worked fine. Second scenario, we check that the packets were also correctly masqueraded or not masqueraded when going to the node. And we have a second rule actually that was not displayed on the first case, which should prevent packets going to the other node from being masqueraded. And so the packet should go straight to the other interface, should not change its IP address, but the packet never arrived. So what happens? So if you read the title, maybe you have an idea already. We thought that the packet was not being masqueraded as we expected. We thought that the IP tables rules were not being applied. And we could have maybe found the issue differently, but Peru helped us to quickly confirm in that case that the masquerading is indeed occurring. So that's what you can observe on that sample output. We can see that we're hitting NF hook slow, and we can also observe for the same SKB that the IP address is changing. So this is the same SKB. I just trimmed the addresses of the SKB because it was taking too much space, but that's the same. So once we had this information, once we knew that the IP tables rules was taking place that we hit the net filter hook. We went back to the rules. So we were supposed to exclude the traffic to the cluster nodes from masquerading. Turns out that the IP sets containing the entries indicating which node should be excluded from masquerading were missing the entry of the node on the left on the first icon. So that kept me busy for some time a few weeks ago. But we did it. So Peru in brief, it's an BBF-based tool to debug what's happening inside of the Linux networking stack. It hooks on kernel functions using processing SKBs. It's very good to pick up things where it's been a false short in a way. You've got more visibility on what's happening directly in the stack and not just at the interfaces. We can use pick up filter stack syntax to filter packets that we want, so we don't get everything. We just focus on the flows that we're interested in. We can trace TC programs, kernel modules functions, modified SKBs. So that's quite flexible. We can dump a number of information, including packet level metadata, the call stack, and it's proven very useful to solve a number of complex networking issues that we've encountered so far. Just a quick note on some other tools that are not exactly the same, but that also use this principle of creating a lot of probes to hook into the kernel and look at what's happening. There is ReadSnoop, which is really convenient to debug what's happening in the kernel when doing kernel development, because it focuses on the return values of the function you're trying to observe, or also the return values of most functions in the kernel if you're trying to just detect what functions are returning errors. IPFTrace 2 is very similar to Peru. There are some features that are different between the two, but otherwise they are doing the same, focusing on tracking the packets. Tetracon is a security events detection. Is a tool focusing on security events detection, and it also supports these multi-K probes, multi-U probes mechanisms. It uses eBPF to detect malicious activity on the system and to block it for security purposes. So this is the end of the presentation. I'd like to thank Aditi and Martinez, who did a great presentation a few years ago at KubeCon on the topic, and I reused some of the materials, so I'm very thankful to them. Thank you to the Peru contributors. Thank you to everyone, of course. Thanks for attending the talk. I hope you enjoyed it, and if you have questions and if we have time, I'm obviously open to questions.
Thank you for the talk. Does it work well with GCO, GRO, like the segmentation of flows when the packets are merged and dissected?
Well, GCO, GRO should get the SKB as an argument, so they would appear on the list of functions that you get from the output. So yeah.
Can you just print the SKBs or also trace, inspect those inside? Like, for example, I've seen this particular value inside the SKB that changes and causes some kind of bug. Can I trace it?
So you can get the SKB. You can dump the full SKB. I don't think we have a filtering mechanism to do some additional processing in Peru on the SKB to only raise when you have that value. What you could do is filter new packet flow, dump the full SKB, and then probably post-process to extract the ones that have these erroneous values, I suppose. But you can get the full content of the SKB. So from that, maybe that would help.
So thank you for the presentation. Do you have an idea of the performance of your tool? And are you satisfied of that performance? And do you see some opportunities to make it even more efficient to be able to use it in production?
No, I don't know. So one clarification is that it's not my I've not contributed to it. Well, I fixed two typos. So I've not run any benchmarks myself. I know there is some impact due to the use of kprobes, because you're loading so many kprobes at the same time, so it does have some impact on performance on the system. I don't think we've tried to use it in environments where performance was a hard constraint for us so far. How could we improve that? I'm not really sure. We haven't really given much thought into it at this point. Well, there's obviously the issue of loading and detaching the programs that is greatly improved with the multi-k probes interface, but that's something different than the runtime. Exactly.
Yeah. Thank you for the talk in the first place. And my question is, which behavior can I expect with packet rewrite, so encapsulation, network address translation, and so on? Is the packet evaluated in every probe, or can I trace the packet even before the rewrite rule? So, for example, I filter to the rewritten IP address, or I filter to the address before VXLAN encapsulation, or whatever, or IPsec processing, and so on.
So the way I see it, if you use the option to track the SKBs, even if the metadata changes, you should be able to trace them even after. So maybe if you set a given destination IP, you wouldn't be able to trace the packet before it gets that IP, because that would be like guessing what will happen. But after it changes, yes, if you have tracking of the packets, and that Peru added it to the map for you, then you would keep following that SKB after that. Yes.
Does it also track the rewritten packets? So I trace the original IP, it gets encapsulated, other destination IP?
Does it track even if it gets encapsulated and if the IP changed? Well, yes, because it's the same SKB, right?
Okay.
So if you're basing your tracking on the SKB address, then yes, doesn't matter if you change the IP.
Okay, thank you.